pam 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 pam. Oh my god. We're back again.
Again.
Remember last time we said we were back and we did one episode.
A lot has happened since then.
Oh yeah.
So the past is in the past.
We're coming to you in a new year with
new year, new us's.
New us's?
New us's. New me, new you.
Murder's back. Alright.
That was Julie's idea to use that song in the promo.
Because I am a corny bitch. I am one corny bitch.
We love it. And that's what the people love.
It is what the people love.
Oh, gosh. So much has happened.
Yeah. So, okay.
I guess a quick rundown.
Okay. Do I start? Do you start?
You can start.
Yeah, I'll start because your news trumps mine. So, okay.
Okay. So, Not pregnant.
No. I got a new job.
Yay!
Ah, I'm working from home full time now. Ah. So I finally have a little home office where I have my little recording set up all ready to go. I'm no longer.
And it sounds like so nice because it's in your little room.
I'm no longer just like cramped on a little makeup table, like
having to deal with the dogs.
Trying to both see Catherine and read my notes at the same time. Like, I've got three motherfucking monitors.
Yeah,
this is professional now. That's my big news. So I'm very happy to have left a toxic work environment.
Yes. Yes.
Now, drum roll. Catherine,
I'm going to the UK for grad school. I'm still in school. Woo! Yeah, I cried when I went to go pay my deposit at the bank. I was like, oh my god, it's corny as fuck, but I've dreamed of this since I was young, and it's finally happening. I had my moment.
Bitch, I cried. I was
she sent
in the middle.
An edible arrangement. It was so good.
I a bitch knew Catherine was gonna get in. Like, Catherine was
anxiety.
So nervous, and for what? Like, she is the true crime queen. Truly, like, the only person on this show that actually knows what they're talking
do
about.
Do I, though? I do.
Your double master's in criminology about to say so, girl.
I mean, that is true. Yeah, so double master's. I might do a PhD. I don't know. Maybe I'll just stick with the master's and see how that goes. I don't have imposter syndrome. But I do have to say, the little, like, vase for the edible arrangement is so cute. It's, so like, the cute. Cutest, like, little vase. I have it just sitting here on my desk. I don't know what I'm going to put in it. But it's, like,
a
nice solid
plant. Just, like, your other fake plants. Catherine has a beautiful little desk setup filled with many a fake plant, and they look so beautiful and green and luscious, but no real plant could ever survive in Catherine's room because it is literally so dark. No light.
I live in a cave. There's not a lot of natural light in this room, especially with the blackout curtain. And they won't die overseas, so yay!
Catherine's achieving her little dream.
And you're achieving your dreams!
And Catherine's leaving me and going to the UK, so on one hand I'm super psyched, on the other hand I'm really fucking sad.
But we're still gonna record. Right. It's only like a four-hour time difference?
Five
5 hours?
Yeah.
We can make that work on weekends.
Yeah.
It's going to work.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, like, I worked for a company based out of the UK for 4 years. And they made all of those meetings happen. So we can make.
We can easily
so
do this.
So you guys need to hold us to it.
Yes.
So, but in the meantime, we're going to get some episodes out. We're going to take a we were going to take a spooky trip to New Orleans, and that very quickly shifted to a cultural trip.
DC trip, because New Orleans is expensive.
It's hot, girl.
It was hot.
And it's hot.
And I am a delicate little... Look how red I am after just, like, a couple sips of cider. I have the rosacea. I can't be out in the sun like that.
The rosacea. Yeah, no, Catherine would literally melt. This is why she's going to thrive in the UK.
I'm like
she's going
a little...
to be amongst her people.
In the cold. I'm so excited!
I am two seltzers deep, so we'll see how this goes. I might have to have Andy bring me another one in a second here, because I'm almost done with this one. Yeah.
Do it.
Okay. So...
that's our quick little recap.
That's
I guess.
Our recap. Welcome if you're new here. I'm Julie.
I am Kat.
And on this show, we
do a lot of things.
We do a lot of things. Mainly bully cult leaders.
Yes.
Talk about crime.
Crime. I love how confident we are in what we're doing. Yeah, we do these things.
Yeah. And there's lots of banter involved.
Oh, yes, lots of banter, lots of drinks, as little math as possible.
And singing.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of singing and music, what? Should we cue the music?
Let's cue the music! I forgot what our theme songs
are. Some Harry Potter shit.
Harry Potter sounding ass shit. Oh, Lord. Okay.
Oh, we gotta keep that in there.
And we're back.
We're back.
The music has been cued. My drink has been refreshed. And we're ready.
I'm ready. I've topped off mine. Let us... yes.
We're okay. How do we start? How do I? Okay, it's a Julie episode today.
It is a Julie episode.
Yes, and let me tell you that this is something I've wanted to do for years now. Like even before we had this podcast, it was something that as soon as I learned about this, I was like, I need to learn more. I did a deep dive. I read many articles.
Yes,
many tabs were open. Andy, you left my door open. Anyway, it's fine.
It's fine. Okay.
So what we're going to talk about today is a crime that is different than the usual types of crime that we talk about on Miss Murder. Because this crime was a legal crime that just happened. Okay.
Wait, did you say a legal crime?
Legal crime. I mean... I don't want to spoil it. I don't want to spoil the end, but essentially legal. A legal crime that
AKA something with the government.
Okay, and now the dogs decided to come in here and they're fighting now. They've gone to fight in the other room. Let me close this door, because if not... and... oh! I'm sorry if I'm gassy again today.
Again! Every burp is not sponsored by Chipotle.
So, today's burp is especially not sponsored by Chipotle, because I forced myself not to order Chipotle and made a dupe Chipotle bowl right here in my own kitchen, because I am motherfucking Martha Stewart. Motherfucking Martha Stewart. Okay, so legal crime.
Legal crimes.
Legal crime. We're talking white collar,
ooh,
rich white man, government sponsored crime today on Miss Murder.
Woo! I'm going to take a long drink with that.
Take a long motherfucking drink. And I'm sorry if I'm cursing, but the floodgates have opened.
They have opened, and we welcome God's wrath.
So today we are talking about the very iffy history of the IUD.
you know, oh, good God.
A notorious little intrauterine device that is supposed
that, to... There are so many horror stories alone.
Girl.
From people getting that... Oh, I...
Let me tell ya. Here we go. We're about to open the other one. Okay. Let me get my notes. Let me set the scene here. Okay. So, in 2018, did you...
Oh, this is recent.
Oh, no, it's not. But this is just like... Oh. I'm setting the scene. I'm going to start a little sooner.
And gotcha.
I want to sort of tell you the impact that this wine has had on women's reproductive trends, the trends of the contraceptive industry.
Oh yeah. Oh my God. Yes, gynecology and birth control pills.
that's another case, girl.
Mm-hmm.
So okay,
honestly,
so in 2018. There were 72.7 million women of reproductive age in the U.S. That is from ages 15 to 49. Okay. 14% of those women use the pill. 18.1% use female sterilization, which is just getting your tubes tied.
Right.
5.6% use male sterilization, which is a vasectomy. That number should be higher because... It takes two to tango. Okay. Anyway, 10.4% use a male condom and 10.4% use intrauterine devices or contraceptive implants. So those are like the top.
Right.
Right. And then, you know, there's a plethora of other.
Other options out there that people use.
Yes. Okay. So, you know. A intrauterine device is a little T-shaped device. They stick it up in your little cervix. It sits in your uterus. Yep. It stops you from getting pregnant. There's kinds that are hormonal. There's kinds that are like copper based. And,
yep.
You know, there's a lot of different options. Okay. The cool thing about the IUD is that it's low maintenance. It's a low maintenance option for us girlies, myself included, that cannot remember to take her pills every day on time. And
yes.
If you know anything about contraception, especially the pill, is that if you miss just one,
that's all it takes.
The efficiency of that contraceptive method goes, it like tenfold fucking decreases, you know? Like you go from 99.9% to like 91% effectiveness. Okay?
That's math I can understand.
You tell me that I miss one birth control pill and my chances of being pregnant increased by 10%?
Julie minus one pill equals two? No.
That's terrible math. Never. Never. So, okay. So, you know, you would think that, you know, it being a low maintenance option, more women would want to opt for the IUD.
Correct.
But the dark past of the IUD has never really escaped it, okay? And so I read this article from Bustle, which is, you know.
That sounds familiar.
Online, sort of like female, you know, magazine, women's magazine.
Blog
type thing. And there was pretty much it said that before Trump took office in 2016, I don't know if you guys remember, but there was like a whole, you know, thing about whether Planned Parenthood would get defunded and this, that, and the other. There was a lot of scare tactics involved in Trump's campaign. But pretty much before Trump took office in 2016, women were rushing to get IUDs implanted.
Yes.
And
I do remember
that. In the first year of Trump's election, the IUD demand spiked 900%, according to Planned Parenthood.
Jesus.
So this device that would give women protection from pregnancy for 3 to 10 years, depending on which IUD they chose, and with the possible defunding of Planned Parenthood, the threat of Roe v. Wade being overturned and making safe abortions illegal, the IUD became the best method of contraception for many women in terms of safety, reversibility, and efficacy. And this was according to Dr. Lauren F. Stryker, who is a clinical associate professor of obstetrics and gynecology. So
Dr. Stryker is a cool name, I do have to say.
I do, right. Like, I would want to be, like, I would want my gynecologist to be named Dr. Stryker.
It's a badass doctor name.
Yeah, so pretty much, like, yeah, it hasn't been until recently with all of these, like, threats to women's reproductive rights that the IUD has seen, like, a resurgence in America specifically. So that sets the scene. Okay, but the first documented instance of the intrauterine device being developed was actually in Germany in 1909 when well, like, the modern IUD,
yeah,
like, actually used in women. So there's actually like, it goes way back when I remember reading this, but it was like people in the desert found, like, nomadic peoples found out that if they put rocks into the uterus of a camel, they could prevent pregnancy. And that's when people first found out that if you put something in the uterus to prevent an egg from attaching to the uterus, they could prevent pregnancy.
Huh.
Fun fact.
I did not know that.
Yeah. But the first, like, medical IUD that was, like, developed to use in human women, like, the first documented instance was in Germany in 1909, when Dr. Richard Richter inserted a ring made of silkworm gut into the uterus.
He sounds like a supervillain from the name alone.
Right. So then, in the 1920s, the Grafenberg ring was developed by Ernest Grafenberg in Berlin. And this IUD replaced the silkworm gut with, like, a spiral made of copper, nickel, and zinc. And it was widely used in England and all the British colonies, but not in continental Europe or in the USA. Okay. So then, fast forward, it's the 1960s, and the sexual revolution
has come about.
Okay.
The birth control pill, all that.
They are here. They have risen in popularity amongst American women. But at the time, the pills that were developed had at least five times the amount of hormones that today's pills do. And all of the potential harmful side effects of the birth control pill were not disclosed to women. They were not on the packaging. They were not being mentioned in conversation by doctors to women. I mean, we're talking that level of hormone would cause nausea, depression, weight gain, blood clots, strokes, right? So
women died.
There were
women that died because of this.
So that, I mean, that's another another fucking episode.
That's the one thing I do remember from the, I don't remember what it was called, like, I think it was a human sexuality class that I had to take as, like, part of my psych degree, and I distinctly remember the birth control chapter.
Yeah.
That was...
Yeah. So, as you may have learned in your class, after all of these complaints by women were being made, Senator Gaylord Nelson, who was also the founder of Earth Day, fun fact, he... Oh. Led a congressional hearing that became known as the Nelson Pill Hearings, basically in response to a book called A Doctor's Case Against the Pill by a journalist called Barbara Seaman. Ba-dum-tsh. Okay, sorry.
Okay. We're just gonna let the silence just take that in.
I hope you're laughing at home. Or in the car or wherever. My delivery wasn't great, but we shall keep going.
We shall continue and persevere.
Okay, so during these hearings, there were many doctors, pharmaceutical companies, like a lot of representatives were given the time to weigh in on this book by Barbara and questioned her and the book's credibility. So out of all of these people that were given
all of these politicians
that were given the chance to speak, guess who wasn't asked to testify?
I wonder who.
Women.
What?
The women that were literally the victims of the pill were not asked to testify. The millions of women that were affected by the insane amount of levels of hormones in these pills were not asked to testify. Which just like, things don't change.
No.
Okay, so amongst the people that were asked to testify, one of the main people that were asked to testify was Dr. Hugh J. Davis, who was a gynecologist who practiced at a family planning clinic at Johns Hopkins Hospital in Maryland. So in his testimony, he insisted that women would be safer going the route of an IUD as a contraceptive. Like, this man really pushed so hard. Sorry. I'm so sorry. This man pushed so hard for IUDs that the congressmen that were leading the hearings were like, so do you have, like, a monetary or commercial interest in IUDs?
Because yeah,
you're really like going to town here. And he was like, nah, I don't
he's just really passionate.
So I just really love,
he just really loves talking to people about these things.
Yeah. So he was like, nah, I don't have any patents for any IUDs that are available on the market. I had, like, developed an IUD.
Yeah, he has no conflict of interest or anything
nothing. Like, I literally have nothing to gain from women getting IUDs.
Mm-hmm.
Which was a lie.
What?
Fun fact. And pretty much after this, like, these Nelson pill hearings, there was, like, a nationwide pill scare and women, like, ditched the pill and were starting to look for alternative methods of contraception. So, what Dr. Davis didn't disclose in his testimony is that just weeks before his testimony, he sold a new and improved, quote unquote, new and improved IUD called the Dalkin Shield to a pharmaceutical company named A.H. Robbins for $750,000 plus royalties on the sale of individual fucking device.
Purchase, so yeah.
In today's dollars, that's worth $5,434,561.86. And they were also making, with their royalties, estimated to make about $30,000 a year, which is $217,000 in today's money.
Jesus.
So bullshit on him not having any commercial interest.
Oh,
on
women. He's just really passionate about these things, you know?
Yeah. So, and fun fact, a little fun fact about the A.H. Robbins company. At the time, they actually owned the Chapstick brand lip balm.
Oh.
Like, Chapstick?
Yeah, Chapstick. You always use it, yeah.
Yeah, you need like 10 of them. One in every possible location so that, you know.
That's how they designed it.
That's, yeah, I mean, I.
They designed it so it would roll away and you'd have to chase it.
Exactly. So yeah, they also owned Robitussin cough syrup. They had cosmetics. And they actually owned a dog flea collar that had been suspected of being responsible for killing many pets across the nation.
Oh, no.
But what they didn't have,
oh, no,
was the contraceptive device, okay? This is, yeah, yeah.
Oh, no.
Not a very ethical company here. So this is where Dr. Hugh J. Davis comes in. So him and his friend, Erwin Lerner, who was an electrical engineer, They came together and developed the Dalkin Shield. They brought on this other doctor named Dr. Thad J. Earl and their attorney, Robert Cohn. And together they made up the Dalkin Corporation. So they started going to all these trade shows, like in efforts to like sell the company and sell the product. And eventually they sold it to A.H. Robbins. Excuse me. Still burping. Still burping here.
Still not sponsored.
Still not sponsored by Chipotle. So Dr. Davis developed the Dalkin Shield in 1968. And right after he developed it, he published an article in the American Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology that described a study that he conducted of 640 women using the Dalkin Shield to prevent pregnancy, and it resulted in a pregnancy rate of 1.1%, which was lower than any of the other competitor IUD devices on the market. He said in this article that it was a modern first choice method with superior performance. And I don't know if you're used to reading. Well, I know you are.
I'm like thinking in my head, like
listener.
Yeah. I'm going through my brain.
You don't usually talk about your scientific results in that way, in a scientific paper. Like, you're not here to sell something.
You're not here to brag yourself. You're
here to present the methods, the results, and that's it.
And at most, implications for future research.
Mm-hmm,
that's it. Like, there's no bragging about your product. You just put 1.7, whatever he said. 1.1. Was this study like sponsored by anybody? You know,
But you know what though?
Oh,
nowhere in that paper did Dr. Davis mention that he was actually the creator of the Dalkin Shield.
No, that right there, it would have been, right there, grounds for rejection, right away.
Yep.
You know, Family
at the
feud.
Time, there was not really, like, peer-reviewed, like, the peer-reviewed, you know, process.
Not like today, where you have to try, like, 20 times.
To get a paper published.
Exactly, yeah.
So, yeah. He writes the paper. He's like, 1.1% pregnancy rate, doesn't say that he's the inventor of the product. And so late, so like A.H. Robbins buys it and uses this paper as supporting evidence.
No.
When selling this product to clinicians. Okay. So the Dalkin Shield. I don't know if you've ever seen a picture of it.
I haven't. I was going to ask you what it looked like, but I figured you were going to get to it.
I don't
It sounds horrific.
I think you should look up pictures.
Oh.
I don't know if you... So okay. It literally looks like, you know those horseshoe crabs?
Stop.
Those prehistoric, like, round horseshoe crabs.
Yes,
like,
we actually have... We have a little tiny one, like, I guess in resin. It was, like, my grandfather's. It was in, like, his... office when he was, I think, teaching at Georgia Southern. It does look like the little crab.
So
it looks like a hieroglyphic. Right. I don't know. Like
it doesn't look like something that should be put in a woman's uterus. Like, have you ever seen, like, do people know the size of a woman's uterus? It is actually super fucking tiny. It is like the size of your palm. Like your hand palm. It's small.
It's
uterus.
I'm like looking up more. Okay, so apparently, so I typed in Dalkin Shield and it just brought up Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. with actor Brett Dalton or Agent Brett Dalton.
Oh, it's Dalkin with a K. Not Marvel.
Oh, I just hit images to find more because I don't want to spoil more on Wikipedia. let me fix that spelling there.
Yeah, I put a picture in the Google Docs, but like, ow.
Did you hit yourself?
Yeah.
Oh.
But I don't want you to look at the doc because,
okay.
So you see that,
don't
right?
like that.
Yeah. And we'll post it on the Instagram. So it literally looks like one of those horseshoe crabs made out of plastic. And you see those little, like, protrusions it has on the side?
Yeah.
Those protrusions were made with serrated edges. Like a knife.
Stop. Oh, my God.
They made it with serrated edges to supposedly allow it to lodge into the uterus and prevent it from dislodging.
Yeah, okay. I'm looking at a picture at it now, and they just have it balanced there with the... Yeah, they have it all the way to the top, and then the serrated edges, and then the string or whatever it is that they have is, like, going down. Oh, that does not...
And so now you bring me to the string.
No...
The fact that the serrated edges on this shit was not the worst part of this device. It was the string.
Oh, fuck.
The string was the worst part. Okay, so this string was made of, like, a multi-filament wick, sort of like a candle wick, almost. Oh. Like, braided, like a braided multi-filament wick. And it was protected... like, covered in this sheath that was supposed to, like, prevent bacteria from attaching to the string. Because if you know anything about bacteria, they love surface area. They love anything porous, like that multifilament wick. Okay, so the problem there was literally both ends of this sheath that was supposed to protect from bacteria was open. So, like, it wasn't sealed. So you had this sheath, but the string on both ends was open.
Yeah, I'm looking at a picture of it now, and it's literally just, like, they took a string.
Yeah.
And it's, like, tying a string on your finger. Like, that's what it looks like.
Like, you know, on your shoe laces, you've got the little... What's it called? The little tip?
We should know that because of Phineas and Ferb.
It was on the Phineas and Ferb episode. It's a little lace tip.
Lace tip. Aglet!
The aglet.
The aglet.
You know the end of the aglet is like soldered off, like it's burnt.
Yeah.
So that it like closes in the string.
Mm-hmm.
This didn't have that. It was literally just open. Okay? So it allowed bacteria to pretty much climb it like a rope. Like, even scientific findings later pretty much said that the way that bacteria colonized this string was essentially just like bacteria climbed it like a rope and got into the sterile environment that was the uterus. Okay. So at this time, medical devices were not regulated by the FDA. Like, pharmaceuticals were, but medical devices weren't. So the Dawkins Shield could just be made and sold and inserted into women's bodies without any type of regulatory testing or supervision. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So now that you know that, I want to take you back a little bit more into Dr. Davis's mindset about women and about pregnancy.
No.
So Dr. Davis, he believed that pregnancy was a social evil.
What?
And he thought that overpopulation was the cause of poverty, unhappiness, and unrest. Literally was like fucking Thanos. So he was described.
And this man was a medical doctor?
Yeah. He was literally described by his colleagues as having an ego of troubling proportions.
That is terrifying.
His enthusiasm bordered on mania. Like,
what?
So he did not give a fuck about women.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
Fuck about women. Okay. So, 1970, A.H. Robbins buys the Dawkins Shield. So by 1971, the Dalkin Shield hits the market. And because there were already like several other IUD options available, A.H. Robbins launched this like very aggressive marketing campaign, pretty much like using the paper. Like it was on magazines, it was on...
They're buying out all the ad spaces they can.
All the ad spaces. And like one of their most infamous marketing tactics was like a two-page magazine spread that eventually became known as the Flying Uterus.
What?
Because there was like literally a picture of a uterus with the Dalkin Shield on top and it looks like it's flying.
That.
Anyway, yeah. Very.
What?
I found pictures of it and it's just like weird. It weirdly looks like a spaceship. I don't know.
Yeah. And, like these descriptions are saying it looks like a little alien head.
Yeah.
Oh.
So in this ad, it pretty much was trying to appeal to the ideal candidates of the Dalkin Shield, which was pretty much women who had not had kids yet or were too disorganized to remember to take their daily birth control pill, which like, hey, same, it me.
Yes.
Definitely me. So because of all of their aggressive marketing tactics, it quickly rose to popularity, and over the next 3 years, there were 2.8 million women in the U.S. and Puerto Rico alone that used this device. Like, so within 3 years, they had taken over 60% of the IUD market.
Oh my God.
And 1.7 million had been sold overseas.
So was like nobody like doing studies to like, it was just the one and done, let's roll with it.
The one and done study that was published in that American Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology.
And what year was this?
1971. Because it literally doesn't disclose in that paper that he's the inventor. So people think like, oh, he's a John Hopkins doctor.
Yeah.
Like, he's credible. You know, he wrote this. He has no, like, stake in this game. And 1.1, that was like way less than any other birth control method like available. So people were just like, hell yeah.
Let's go with it. Let's roll with it. Yeah. Yeah.
So A.H. Robbins, it cost them 35 cents to manufacture one of these IUDs. They then sold it to doctors for $4 a piece, 114% markup. And the doctors then sold it to their patients for $12 a piece, which was a 300% markup. And yes, I did the math beforehand so I didn't look fucking stupid.
I appreciate that.
Thank you. Just to put it at like 300% markup. And so you remember how I said that the A.H. Robbins company owned ChapStick?
Are we going to hate ChapStick now?
No, but we're going to hate the A.H. Robbins company.
Okay, that's fair.
So because they owned ChapStick and they already had facilities to make ChapStick and wanted to keep costs down, they moved the manufacturing of the IUDs to the factory that made ChapStick.
If there is any product that should not be made in the same vicinity, in an unsterilized environment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like they even, like they moved their manufacturing practices there and they got like a specialized team of like people to make just the Dalkin Shields. No, like the people that were making ChapStick.
You know how to make ChapStick. Congratulations. You now know how to make birth control. What the fuck?
Period. Like you now know how to make the thing that goes into women's vaginas. Like, No special training.
Oh my god.
No special, like, fucking separate, like,
area. Not even a seminar!
Not even a seminar
to tell you what you're doing!
Yeah. And again, the FDA doesn't regulate medical devices at this point. So there was no type of regulatory oversight over this process. None. Okay? So, funny enough, they did still have like quality control, like internally within the company.
Right.
And there was a quality control manager at the factory, not a doctor, not a fucking rocket scientist, that was like examining this shipment of Dalkin shields that needed to go out and was like, the sheath on this threaded wick is open on both ends.
So it does not take a rocket scientist to know something is up with this shit.
Quality control manager. Like, he's like, it's open on both sides. So you're literally still exposing it to bacteria.
I mean, who knows how painful that must have been, too, if you got a bacterial infection.
Oh, girl, I'm not even...
No.
Girl. Okay, so listen. Oh. So he realizes this, and he brings it to his supervisor. And he's like, hey, this is not going to prevent bacteria because it's open on both sides. Like, could we at least cauterize the ends of it? Like, both
something
ends so that it seals it? And do you want to know what he heard from upper management?
That costs too much money?
No.
Mind your business?
Eventually, but no.
Oh, okay. Oh.
He said, oh, we can't do that because, you know, men have already complained that it's uncomfortable for them to have sex with women with IUDs. And we don't want to make it more uncomfortable for them by cauterizing the ends.
I want to say that I am surprised, but I am not.
Who cares if the woman has a bacterial infection?
That could more than likely kill you.
Leave you infertile, etc., etc. But
probably have to get a hysterectomy too.
But men don't like it. So no. Like, we're not going to do that.
No.
Because men don't like it.
No.
So yeah. The quality control manager is like, I'm not gonna let it go. And as he's inspecting more and more of these, like, Dalkin shields, he notices that there's, like, fully, like, little holes found in the sheets of, like, the protective lining.
Oh, my God.
Literally no regulatory control. Like, they don't have any type of special training. So,
I mean, those things probably aren't even sterile when they leave the fucking facility.
So they are. Until a point, which we'll get
Okay.
I'm glad you pointed it out.
Yeah.
So when the QA manager realizes this, he fails this like batch of thousands of Dalkin shields going out. He fails their inspection. And at that point, there's an internal memo sent from the top of the company that says that the shipment is fine to send out and that the little holes wouldn't make a difference. So the QA manager elevates it to his boss with proof that the exposed wick could cause massive infections in the sterile uteruses of women. And again, mind you, he's not a doctor. And the answer he gets is, quote, your conscience does not pay your salary. And the shipment goes out anyway.
Oh, my God.
So through all of this, A.H. Robbins is raking in the dough.
Of course they are.
All of the research dollars that they're getting for this product does not go into improving the safety or efficacy.
Why? They don't need to improve anything.
The A.H. Robbins Corporation throws most of their research and development dollars and time towards fixing the male sensitivity problem.
Of course they do.
Because they wanted to make sure that men who were having sex with women who had IUDs implanted did not experience any discomfort.
What a progressive company.
Are we surprised?
No.
No. Not even a little bit. So yeah, they're raking in the dollars from the Dalkin Shield, and pretty much almost immediately there start to be complaints from women about the product.
Interesting.
And the physician actually wrote to the company very early on and said, I have found the procedure to be the most traumatic manipulation ever perpetrated on womanhood, and I have inserted thousands of other varieties of IUDs.
Because you said it has serrated edges.
Yes.
So, they have getting serrated up?
Uh-huh.
And then getting it removed, serrated.
Yeah. So literally, but they're making so much money that they literally don't care about these
companies. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
But eventually, tens of thousands of complaints began flooding into the FDA, all from Dalkin users who developed pelvic inflammatory disease and even blood poisoning.
Jesus!
There's like specifically like this one story of this woman named Linda Tao, who was a 20-year-old from Baltimore, who like her own OBGYN was Dr. Davis. Like he was her doctor. She wanted to wait a few years before having kids. And so she was like, okay, Dr. Davis says I should get this IUD put in. So she gets it put in 1970. Then a few months go by after the procedure, and she's like suffering from debilitating pain, massive bleeding for months, like not normal period blood, like massive blood loss.
Jesus.
And so she calls Dr. Davis and is like, hey, this isn't normal. This is a lot of blood. I'm experiencing a lot of pain. And Dr. Davis is like, no, like it's fine. Your body's just like getting used to it. It's fine.
That's
so not... Linda takes his word for it, deals with it for a whole year, but then finally decides to get it removed because she literally cannot take the pain anymore.
That must have been excruciating.
Yeah. So at this point, like her health has deteriorated, like her external appearance has like severely been affected just because she's literally ill all the time.
She's losing so much blood.
Yeah, so she finally gets it removed, and it's almost immediately her health improves. Then, 5 years later, she's on vacation in New York. She's having a good time. She's having a hot girl summer.
Yes.
And then she starts to run an incredibly high fever and starts to experience intense stomach pain. So they rush her to the hospital. And what they find there, the doctors found that her uterus had been almost entirely enveloped by scar tissue. Like the entire thing was just scar tissue, her entire uterus.
Holy
fuck. So she was diagnosed with major pelvic inflammatory disease, and she had to undergo 8 surgeries, including a hysterectomy.
Oh my God.
To correct the damage, and she obviously lost her ability to have children altogether. Yeah. So that's just one of the more like publicly known cases.
Yeah, because they're gonna keep this hush so they can make money.
Yep, but that's pretty much like this article I read said most of the victims' stories follow a similar narrative arc. It hurt, but the doctor said you'd get used to it. It didn't stop hurting, and the doctor said it was all in your head. Women felt sick, but the testimony of their own bodies wasn't sufficient enough to overturn what scientific research had established as a safe practice. Eventually, women started dying.
Yeah, that's...
So that's pretty much how all of these stories of these women went.
Was there ever like an estimate of exactly how many women?
I think they said up to 20 women died, but there's like that those were women, so those were cases of women who like pretty much had an aseptic abortion, so that pretty much meant that they became pregnant, but then the egg didn't really stick to the uterus.
Yeah.
And there was infection in the baby, and that caused the abortion. And because they didn't know that they were pregnant, they had the IUD in there the entire time. It ruptured the sac, like,
oh my God,
pretty much caused spontaneous abortion. And those women suffered from massive like blood poisoning and blood
hemorrhaging, probably.
Died. Yeah. And died. So that's 20 women that we know of. And so there's been other cases of women that we know who died that had the Dalkin shield, but the cause of death was attributed to something else.
Oh, okay.
But it doesn't mention the fact that the underlying cause of them having these health issues was having the Dalkin shield.
Right.
So, yeah. So pretty much after these accounts start coming out, it was found out that Dr. Davis's 1.1% pregnancy claim was faulty. Like, it was bullshit. So it was found out that Dr. Davis's study, the one that, you know, he based his entire 1.1% pregnancy rate around, only studied women for 5.5 months.
That is not.
And on top of that, he had told his subjects that they should use like a spermicidal foam on top, like, in parallel with.
Did he put that in his paper?
No.
Of course he fucking did it.
Of course he fucking did it. No. So it's like, yeah, it's like there's no control.
Like, you cannot deceive participants. Well, I mean, technically he wasn't deceiving them because he was telling them to use that. But mm-hmm. your whole, the primary thing when you're running an experiment is do no harm.
So yeah, there was no reliable testing period and an additional contraceptive used. So pretty much Dr. Davis's data was completely unreliable and useless. So the A.H. Robbins company was like, okay, this may be the case. So we're going to be the good guys and run our own tests. Okay. So they had actually sent a doctor, like an internal clinician that worked mm-hmm. for them, to examine the methods used by Dr. Davis.
Oh.
Dr. Fred Clark was his name.
What did Fred have to say?
And upon his return to headquarters, he was like, he told his assistant, type up my notes. And in his notes, it said that 26 out of 832 patients had become pregnant. And that is a pregnancy rate of 3.1.
That is a significant statistical difference.
Statistical difference to 1.1. And when he was brought to testify, eventually, he was like, no. My notes actually only said 6 of 832 patients, and it was really just my female secretary's incompetence for mistranscribing my notes. So again, it's women's fault. It's women's fault.
As the only, it only makes sense.
Yeah. So then A.H. Robbins conducted their own independent study, quote unquote, and that got them about a 2% pregnancy rate, still higher than 1.1.
Yeah.
But when like a truly independent studies were performed by Kaiser Medical Center and Beth Israel Hospital, they found pregnancy rates of 5.6% to 10.1%.
That is like off the charts.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a difference of 5. This is like.
Yeah. From 1.1 to 5.6 and 10.1%.
That.
Yeah.
Is scary.
But of course, the A.H. Robbins company ignored it. And they kept on selling the Dalkin shield.
Buddies, buddy.
So pretty much they couldn't ignore all of the complaints that were coming in. They mm-hmm. were just like, there's no correlation between the product.
Correlation is not causation.
Right. They said that it was not their responsibility to warn their customers about potential issues, and that it was probably the poor personal hygiene and multiple sex partners of the women.
Are they slut shaming these women?
Yeah. They were like, that's why they're getting infections, not the device, because they've got poor personal hygiene and multiple sex partners.
I am making such a face right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like the fact that this sounds like something that would literally happen today. Catherine. Yeah.
This is like some Parks and Rec episode bullshit. That's what this is.
Bitch.
The fucking town. They're having their fucking meeting. Like,
bitch. It's like, how do you even make a joke about this?
You can't.
You can't.
Like, that's why I'm silent.
So fucking terrible. So, eventually, more complaints start coming in from doctors themselves, who found Dalkin shields that were just floating freely
Stop.
In the abdominal cavities of these women. Because Stop. Remember those serrated edges?
They're just gonna cut right through. No.
They had dislodged and punctured holes right through the uterus and were just floating freely in the abdominal cavities of women.
The pain?
Bitch.
Of that?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Women began to have spontaneous and often late-term abortions. Babies were born with deformities and brain damage. And even after all of these thousands of complaints that were flooding in between 1971 and 1974, the A.H. Robbins Company secured a contract with the federal fucking government to send hundreds of thousands of Dalkin shields to underdeveloped third world countries as part of their Agency for International Development Department to stop more brown babies from being born.
Stop.
Because the white savior colonialist state strikes again. Catherine. Reading this was the most painful fucking thing.
My stomach hurts.
Yeah. And it gets worse, Catherine.
No.
It gets worse because you know what?
What?
Because A.H. Robbins had made this contract with the government, they were pretty much selling them the Dalkin shields at a very discounted price. And so to offset the reduced profit margin, they began cutting corners. You know where they began cutting corners?
Where?
They began shipping unsterilized
Stop!
Products.
No!
To these developing countries. So you're...
How is that not like bioterrorism or something?
Because they're white. If they're white, they can't be terrorists, Captain
My stomach hurts.
So
that, like, I don't even know if it's appropriate to call it bioterrorism, but that's like
bioterrorism. No, dead ass though. Like, they already know that their product, even sterilized, is causing massive pelvic infections in women. So imagine getting a completely unsterilized product made in a fucking chapstick factory.
The fucking chapsticks.
Into developing countries, third world countries, quote unquote, that don't have the same types of medical facilities that we do in the U.S. Literally fucking like fucking genocide, like white genocide, like
that?
These motherfuckers knew.
Why have
I not known? The FDA had received thousands of complaints, and they still...
Why have I not known about this? I mean, we know why, but...
Right! And it was just done out in the open, like legal fucking crime. Legal fucking crime, because let me tell you about the trial. Let me tell you about the trial, because eventually a trial does come out. A trial does happen. So after all this has finally happened, after all this is happening, the FDA is finally like, yeah, we need to suspend the sale of this shit.
Yeah.
The FDA doesn't issue a formal recall on the product, but sends them a request, a formal request that's like, hey, can you like please stop selling these? Thanks.
Hey guys, I would just love it. What if we just not sell this?
What if you just like didn't sell it anymore?
You know, let's consider that.
In the U.S. anyway, because
just in the United States.
And it wasn't until 1976, 2 whole years after it was suspended from the U.S., that they recalled the Dawkins shields from the undeveloped nations that they had sent it to. Like, at this point, they had sold 4.5 million Dawkins shields in 80 countries.
That is 4.5 million women.
So they finally suspended the sale in 1974. Then in 1980, the Robbins Corporation was like, yeah, okay, we're going to send letters to physicians directly asking that they remove the shield from their patients. Just like send them a quick little letter. Like, hey,
just a post-it note. Just a post-it note reminder. Leave it on the desk.
T-dubs. Like, if you could remove that from them, that'd be great. But it wasn't until 1984, 4 years after that,
Jesus fucking Christ,
that they launched an ad campaign urging women to get it removed at the company's expense. Like, that's the least they could fucking do.
That's the, yeah.
But so, that's 10 years later, like 10 years after the sale of the product was suspended.
So were they like forced to do this PSA, whatever, pretty much?
No. There was never a formal recall issued.
Even with the fucking warning? Saying, yeah. Get this removed?
Like, they kept getting warned by the FDA, but nothing formal was ever issued by the FDA.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So, in the end, 327,000 cases were brought to litigation against the A.H. Robbins Company. There were reported cases of pelvic inflammatory disease, infertility, uterine perforations, spontaneous septic abortions, blood poisoning, and death. So once the first case finally gets brought to trial,
then the floodgates open.
Yeah, because they lost the first case. And the A.H. Robbins Company was so pissed that they fired their lawyer. They were like, you did a bad job of representing us, so we're going to fire you.
Right? It's totally the lawyer's fault.
It's the lawyer's fault. So that was a bad move, because this lawyer, Roger Tuttle, pretty much then like turned his back on the Robbins Company and became like a star witness against them, and aired out
Mr. Tuttle
all their dirty fucking laundry.
Oh, that is juicy.
Tons of intentional destruction of incriminating documents. During the deposition, he revealed that 6 months before the launch of the product to market, two in-house doctors for A.H. Robbins themselves, Dr. Ellen Preston and Dr. Daniel French, had sent Dr. Fred Clark, who had gone to see the scientific method, they had sent him a memo detailing their worry that the multi-thread wick being used for the device would cause external bacteria to enter the sterile uterus of women and cause severe infections, but that was also ignored and destroyed. So Mr. Tuttle just fucking let it all out, spread it wide open, and by 1985, A.H. Robbins filed for bankruptcy.
It only took what is this, 15, 14 years?
Yep.
Since the product was created.
Do you know why they filed for bankruptcy?
Because they had to keep paying for lawyers and then they couldn't afford to pay their lawyers.
Because if they filed for bankruptcy, that means they only had to deal with all of the existing cases that were open. They would not be responsible for any new cases that were filed after that.
That sounds right on the money.
So when they filed for bankruptcy, they set a $2.48 billion fixed asset trust fund to deal with the outstanding cases. It wasn't until 1999 that the last of those cases were settled. And of those 327,000 cases that were tried, only 170,000 claimants were paid. And in order to be paid, those claimants had to provide detailed medical records, descriptions of their personal hygiene routines, and sexual activity.
That is horribly invasive. And that itself, already on the physical trauma you've been through?
Yep. Literally, I listened to some of, like, there are court recordings from the trials. And the the prosecuting attorney is literally asking, he put the defense attorney on the stand and was like, started asking him questions about his wife's sexual history, his wife's personal hygiene. He was like, it doesn't feel good, does it? Now imagine if you feel uncomfortable answering these questions on behalf of your wife, imagine all 327,000 women that have brought complaints about the fucking Dalkin Shield to trial being asked to detail every single part of like such a intimate and private moment in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Bitch. He went off. But ooh, even after all of this, good, most women that were involved in the lawsuit only were compensated less than $1,000 each. There's just no way of making this even funny. Like,
there's not.
It just hurts me. And of course, because of the stipulation that women had to provide medical records and detailed sexual experiences, imagine how many women in foreign countries were never compensated or were able to bring forward.
Because you said it was over, it was 4.8 million.
4.8 million.
God, my stomach hurts.
Yeah. So after all of that,
it hurts.
At least four and up to 20 women died in the U.S. while having the Dalkin Shield that we know of, that the Dalkin Shield is named as the primary cause of death of. And pretty much the A.H. Robbins Company, after they were absolved of any future litigation after filing for bankruptcy, because they were no longer responsible for any future litigation, their stock price rocketed. And the company was sold to the American Home Products Company in 1989 for $3 billion. And the owners took home $385 million tax-free. And no punishments were brought against the company or anyone else involved. And that includes Dr. Hugh J. Davis,
I was just
literally
about to
lied,
ask.
Literally lied in a congressional hearing under oath. No punishments. Legal fucking crime.
Legalized crime.
So there's only like one semi-redeemable outcome of this case. Okay. And that is that Dr. Davis literally lost his fucking mind. He went insane after this. His paranoia became so uncontrollable that he stopped showing up to work. So John Hopkins let him quietly retire at age 55.
Oh, yes. Yes, just let him retire.
Just let him retire. He became a recluse in his own home. He feared that if he left, victims would seek revenge against him, and that the negative press surrounding the Shield was just a malicious plot directed at ruining his career by his competitors. He would not leave the house without a bodyguard.
What?
Literally paid bodyguards. He manically tried to remedy his reputation by inventing new devices, like new medical devices. And then one day he just disappeared from his home. Eventually, his family found him in a downtown Baltimore church, and they had him committed to a psychiatric ward, which he was in and out of for the next 10 years until he died of cancer peacefully in his home.
What was he diagnosed with?
Like a psychotic breakdown.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, you would think that it was like his guilt that drove him to madness,
yeah,
like to insanity. But literally, no. His own son went on the record and said it wasn't remorse for the pain that David caused that was his downfall. No, it was that Hugh Davis could not believe that he was wrong.
That... Oh my God.
Yeah. He was not... He didn't feel remorse about what he did to these women. He just couldn't stand the fact that he was wrong. He's a man.
He had been proven wrong in front of the world.
And his own son said that shit. So after the Dalkin Shield incident, the FDA finally became a regulatory authority for medical devices, and they implemented the need for long-term randomized controlled trials not conducted by a product's own inventors and other efforts to eliminate conflicts of interest. Like, who would have thought?
What the fuck?
Who would have thought? So yeah. After this, American women distrusted IUDs since, and it wasn't.
Oh,
until the last
absolutely!
10 years. Yeah, it wasn't.
That's
until
my
the last
that's
10
my
years
get my way, yeah, of getting absolutely into this episode. Jesus Christ! Yes.
Again, it wasn't until the last 10 years that they rose back in popularity and were seen as a safe form of contraception. There is another quote from Dr. What's her name that I mentioned in the beginning?
Oh!
Dr. Stryker.
Woman. Yes. Yes.
Dr. Stryker. She said, the danger of the Dalkin Shield was not a misconception, but it led to a cultural distrust of the IUD, perhaps accounting for its low rate of use in North America in comparison to the 23% of French, 27% of Norwegian, and 41% of Chinese women who use IUDs as birth control. And I leave you with this quote from Dr. Chikako Takeshita, who is a women's studies professor at the University of California and the author of The Global Biopolitics of the IUD. She says, "I think the IUD becomes empowering for women to have when all kinds of options are available for women and couples, including men's contraceptives and access to abortion." Period. And that is the very complicated history and very just fucking outright crime.
I literally had no idea about any of this.
Yeah. And now you see why I had to fucking... go
you had
ham
to get
on
it
this
out
bitch.
There.
I had to go ham on this bitch. I have an IUD. I've had an IUD for 3 years. 4 years? 4 years. And luckily, obviously, now today's IUDs are meticulously tested.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
They're safe. But like, women back in the day, they just trusted their doctors as they thought that they should have. Like,
yeah.
These evil fucking companies, these evil fucking white men were just like,
here.
Chapstick contraception.
Here's a complimentary bag of chapstick to go with your IUD.
No chap lips up in this joint. Pew, 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 pew. I'm sorry.
Hang up your microphone right now. God damn it. This is supposed to be our comeback and you're out here doing this bullshit. Juliana.
I'm sorry.
You are the only one laughing here.
You're laughing.
No,
you're
I'm
laughing.
Not.
You're laughing.
I have rosacea. I'm not laughing.
it was pretty funny.
Okay, now I'm laughing.
I'm sorry. I'm nervous laughing. It was just so much.
I'm trying to find a way to break the ice. Oh, good God.
So I did come up with an ABCs of crime.
I forgot we do ABCs of crime. That's quite sad. That's like the highlight.
It's the highlight. So if you've stuck around this long.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I don't even remember how we introduced ABCs of crime.
Oh,
how did we say them?
This week's ABC of crime.
This week's ABC of crime. I'm broken. This week's ABCs of crime is the letter U for uteruses before deuteruses. Back to Parks and Rec. It's all just a bad Parks and Rec episode.
Oh, where's Leslie Knope when we need her?
Leslie Knope never would have allowed this to happen.
She never would have. Oh.
Yeah, uteruses before deuteruses. Because please, yeah. let's put uteruses before deuteruses when literally making decisions about women's uteruses.
Yes.
Let women be the primary
you know, force. If you have a uterus, you have an opinion.
If you don't,
to quote the Rachel Green,
if you're a uterus, you don't have an opinion. And if this story didn't convince you, fuck right off. I have nothing else to say.
Yeah.
So.
Yay! That's our comeback episode.
I know that was a lot.
Wow.
Less funny.
Yeah, I mean, we take stuff seriously, but we try to find the light.
There was just no light. There was no light. There was no light. There was no light.
Julie's just staring off in the corner. There's no light. There's no light.
I'm sorry. But hey, we're on social media.
Oh my gosh, yeah, hi. Yeah, if you're on Instagram, we're on Instagram at emma.murder_podcast, where we post pictures of the people we bully. You know, the cult leaders we bully, all the people that we talk about. We're going to show these asshole doctors that, you know, fucking
fuck
monsters.
Hugh Davis. Fuck all of them.
And then our little alien-shaped shield of death.
Yeah.
It lit like nobody like you can't look at that and be like, yeah, I want that option. You look at it and you're just like,
more vasectomies, please. You don't want a kid?
Great
sentence. You don't want that kid as much as I don't want that kid, homie. Okay? Hello? Thank you. Thank you for listening to our comeback episode. Don't call it a comeback.
I hope you're very proud of yourself.
I'm so proud of myself. We love you, though. Thank you for listening.
So thank you.
Hopefully another very cool case.
I've got something very...
Oh, bitch, I'm ready. Oh. Are we gonna actually get to bully some people on your episode?
Yes.
That's what I need.
Yes.
Lovely.
I have the fucking asshole dude that we are gonna... He's not a cult leader, though. We need to do a cult leader.
Oh, we do.
But I've got a case for you.
Thank you. Thank you, I'm ready.
You're welcome.
So, please stick around. Please listen to us next week.
Next week, yes. Yes.
As we get back on our regular schedule.
Yeah, I've gone back to working full time while I'm finishing up my diploma so I can save the money. So, gotta save the money to go to the UK.
Crime queen, literally a true crime queen, Catherine.
Gotta save all my money.
And I guess with that, we tell you good night. Good night.